PFT Media.
You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
You get up on your little 21-inch screen and howl about America and democracy. There is no America. There is no democracy. There is only IBM and ITT and AT&T and DuPont, Dow, Union Carbide, and Exxon. Those are the nations of the world today. What do you think the Russians talk about in their councils of state? Karl Marx? They get out their linear programming charts, statistical decision theories, min-max solutions, and compute the price-cost probabilities of their transactions and investments, just like we do. We no longer live in a world of nations and ideologies, Mr. Beale. The world is a college of corporations, inexorably determined by the immutable bylaws of business. The world is a business, Mr. Beale. It has been since man crawled out of the slime.
This is the Chris Crespo Radio Show. Everybody likes him. Listen to his shit.
Such shows contribute to a social climate of violence and sexual malaise.
In order to survive, we have to give people something they can't get anywhere else.
We live in overstimulated times. We crave stimulation for its own sake. We gorge ourselves on it. We always want more, whether it's tactile, emotional, or sexual.
Soon, all of us will have special names. Names designed to cause the cathode ray tube to resonate.
Welcome to Cinema Crespediso.
Yes, here we go, episode 255.
Take two.
Starting over, Cinema Crespediso.
Welcome back to the first half.
Welcome back to the first half. Ooh, that applies to us only in the room. Welcome to episode 255 of Cinema Crespediso. I'm your host, Chris Crespo, chilling in the Cinema Crespediso studio with Drew Sikonger and Drew.
Chris.
You're on the PFT Radio Network. Pretty freaking terrific radio. What does the PFT stand for? Quality programming, Drew. Don't give me that look. Don't give me that look. Here's your threat update. Current threat level is brown. Current threat level is brown. Your policies may betray you.
They already have.
But don't call me Atreyu.
Why not?
Atreyu!
Because I don't want my horse to die in the muck. Doesn't ever end the story reference for you kids out there who don't know what you have no idea. We're now old men. But joining us is an old timer, one of our old timers, joining the 10 times club. The X-Men Club, because he is part of the X-Class of guests. It is his 10th time here. He's the Trivia Emperor himself, anointed by me. And then everyone else will fall into place, because that's the way it works.
Pope?
I am the Pope of anointing nicknames. To the man himself, Curtis Earth is here. Yeah, Curtis!
Woo! Don't call it a comeback!
That's right, you are here looking dapper as hell, I gotta say.
I'm dressed up because it's my last show of 2017.
That is correct. Your third and final time in 2017. Thank you so much for joining us, buddy. We really appreciate
it, man. I love this
man.
Podcast. You guys are great. Let's do this.
Thank you so much. And you brought some wine.
I brought some wine.
And some Peronis for us. We appreciate that.
A little Italian beer.
I have Italian beer on the second half. You brought us an amazing painting that looks great. Called Super Sperm.
Well,
or Superman Sperm.
Called Super Sperm. And let me just let the listeners know, this is not some sort of kind of frat joke or anything like that. I presuppose what Superman's sperm would look like if it was in a centrifuge machine.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Centrifuge.
Yes.
And that is the image I brought to you. It's the first painting I ever created.
And it's big. It's what is that? How big is that?
It's about 2 feet by 3.5.
Yeah.
It looks like 18 by 24.
It's a significant size painting.
Yeah. And I wanted you to have it because I know.
Because when you think Super Sperm.
Well, I think of you two guys. You know, but
honestly.
Yeah. The Superman of podcasts. But I also just think this is something you'll treasure forever.
Yeah.
Nobody throws art away. And you've had some of the same art on these walls for the last, how many times I've been here? 10 times. So I know you will take good care of this painting.
Absolutely. It's going to become a center point of the Crespediso studio. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
We'll put it online for people to see on Instagram, Facebook. You know, join the Cinema Crespediso Facebook group for people to see it. Right, Drew? Right?
Sure. Right? Why not?
All right.
I mean, they could do something with it.
You can do something with it. Hit up Drew on Twitter at AntiHero419. He'll have an awesome picture of it on his Twitter feed.
I will.
And then I'll retweet it with the Crespediso.
Okay.
That's how we'll do that.
Sure.
That's how we'll make that happen. Thank you, Curtis.
You're welcome.
We appreciate it. You are the man. Tenth time here joining the likes of SBK and Steve Etchy, PFT co-founder, co-runner, Steve Etchy. The three of you guys have been a guest on the show 10 times at least.
Can you even count Etchy anymore?
Of course you can. He's a fantastic guest. We love him.
I have a feeling.
Yeah, but he's a producer now.
So, that's fine.
A PFT.
That's fine. And you've been on 240-something times. So,
I'm the number one guest.
You beat them all. Good job. Musical guest, Drewster Cogburn.
Again.
Good job. Good job, Drew. We're very proud of you.
Thanks. We all are.
Yeah, we're proud of you, Drew.
I mean, I wasn't asking for anything.
Drew,
so.
I know you weren't fishing, but I hope you're glad with what you caught.
I wasn't fishing.
I know you weren't fishing, but you caught something.
Chris!
Adulation and admiration from your fellow human beings around you. Deal with it.
Can't.
That was very grown up of you, Chris. To say that.
Can we do the strong pick of the week?
Oh, that's a good idea.
Very uncomfortable.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to Pick of the Week.
Picks of the Week.
Pick of the Week.
Pick of the Week.
Cinema Crespediso streaming.
That's right, Cinema Crespediso streaming pick of the week. We do this every week. Not only do we do this every week, we did this about 20 minutes ago. And we're not going to change it around. This is how we do it on Cinema Crespediso. We take pride in the fact that we don't hide things from our listeners. We don't pretend things are a certain way. We are very upfront.
Oh, yeah, no, we fucked up.
And we fucked up, and we are just going to use the exact same movie because I want to talk about it. Arrival. The Niva Nueva's Arrival is what Curtis Earth picked. Good job!
Thank you.
That's our streaming pick of the week. Good job, pick drop.
It was random.
It was 20 minutes
it's
ago.
It's randomizer 9000.1. It's the ultimate in randomosity. The randomifications of the randomness can't be understated.
It's randomistical.
Or overstated. It's very randomistical. Arrival, great movie, part of the, this is what I said before, I'm going to say it again, even though other people didn't hear it, you guys heard it, sci-fi trilogy by the director Denis Villeneuve. So you've seen Arrival, Curtis.
I've seen it.
You have yet to see Blade Runner 2049.
Oh,
are you a fan of the original Blade
Runner?
No. Well, then you're not going to like it, though.
Well, I shouldn't say I'm not a fan. I didn't see it, the original.
You haven't even seen it?
Never saw
it. Well, then that would make a hell of a double feature.
Snipe Lee West, isn't it, right? Okay.
Who's Snipely? Who's Snipely West?
I don't know.
Drew, who's Snipely West?
I have no idea. Let's find out.
Is Snipely West the guy with the mustache?
I'm thinking Wesley Snipes. Sorry, I had it backwards. Is that what we're talking about?
Chris has left the room.
Why is Chris leaving the room?
I don't know. I think it broke his brain.
Snipely West.
You know how things get mixed up in your head.
Snipely West, yeah. Like, not Wesley Snipes.
The funny thing is, you guys are looking up Snipely West.
I was about to, yeah.
Like, I mean, I don't know everything.
I'm too hip for the room,
Snipely
people.
West. Did he do some movies with Errol Flynn?
Buzzy Wilson. They were in a lot of road shows.
Arnold Stang. Him and Snipely West worked together. No, he wasn't Wesley
Snipes. Harry Whittleson.
Harrison Ford. Edward James Olmos. Emmett Walsh has a small role.
Emmett.
Rutger Hauer. This is when Rutger Hauer was like breaking on to the international role stage in the 70s, early 80s, right? Some of those people come back. Well, I guess only Edward James.
Daryl Hannah?
Right? Daryl Hannah is in it. Yes, young Daryl Hannah is fantastic. And it's a great, great little movie, man. Great tiny little movie called Blade Runner. Recommend it. If you like it, check out Blade Runner 2049 because they do a great job of making a sequel. That's like a great sequel, but it's also still sort of its own thing.
Yeah.
It's got its own style.
Which are the hallmarks of a great sequel, actually.
I think so. Yes, absolutely. Because the guy wasn't afraid to make his Blade Runner.
Right, right.
And if you watch Arrival, and then you like Arrival, and then you watch that back-to-back with Blade Runner, you see a lot of style overlapping. Yeah. And you can see how it's the same filmmaker making both of those movies. So I highly recommend it. And then the third of his trilogy is going to be his upcoming version of Dune. The second version of Dune to be made into a movie. The first one by David Lynch.
Awful.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Awful.
So Arrival, great pick. Thank you, Curtis.
You're welcome.
Box office time. As the money falls from the sky, we're going to talk about the box office top five. Drew, where are we starting that top five?
Top five starts at number 10 this week, Chris.
What?
With three billboards outside Ebbing, Missouri.
That's the I'm shocked at the box office numbering drop.
You used that drop earlier for something else, you freaking moron. $4.4 million, total of $7.6.
Does that have a budget there?
No, unlisted on Box Office Mojo.
Can't be that expensive of a movie. It's like you pay, the most expensive thing in the movie has to have been
Woody
the actors.
Harrelson.
Yeah, Woody Harrelson and Francis McDormand. Francis McDermott?
That's what he said.
Francis McDormand?
Mm-hmm.
Francis Fargo.
McDormand.
Woody Harrelson.
Harry Whittleson.
Who else is in this? Sam Rockwell.
Yes.
I like Sam Rockwell.
Sam Rockwell is great.
He's
really good in this movie, too.
He's great in this movie. Him and who?
Michael Keaton have this kind of intensity when they're on the screen, you know?
Yeah, sure. Have they ever been in a movie together?
No.
Mm-hmm. I don't think so.
I want to see a two-hander, Sam Rockwell, Michael Keaton. They're kind of bumbling life criminals.
Who have to do
one last job.
Right.
And they're good, but they're not that good. Is that your phone? Whose phone is that? Curtis, is that your phone?
Actually, there we go. What I'm thinking is... Mm-hmm. Have a grifter movie where one grifter is really good.
Okay.
The other one is horrible, but they're best friends.
Or brothers or something. Yes. So they're best friends, unbeknownst to the dumb one, the secret brothers.
Yeah.
Adopted brothers? Secret brothers.
No.
Secret
Lame.
Brothers.
We'll work this out at the Sundance Screenwriters Workshop in January. Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. Fantastic movie from the writer-director of In Bruges and Seven Psychopaths. And it's a great little movie, great character film.
But not the feel-good movie of the year.
Not the feel-good movie, no, but definitely super well-made. Like, when it's over, you're like, damn, that was a crazy little story. What do you think, Drew?
I mean, yeah, it's fantastic.
It's pretty fantastic.
Great little characters, drama. Very dark. Dark comedy.
Yes.
If you can't laugh at like death and suicide and people blowing their brains out, then I wouldn't watch this movie.
You got to be careful. There are things there that can be that could be depressing if you're not in the right mind space. I guess it's meant to be comedy though, in many ways.
Well, yeah.
But the story goes there. It goes to some.
It takes some places.
It takes some turns. It's a really well made, super well acted, well written. Big fan of this movie. This is only something you're going to hear more about come January, February, when we get to
the Oscars.
Was Frances McDormand your full best actress? But for sure, good stuff. Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. I would recommend people checking it out when they get a chance to see it in a theater near them. What do you think, Drew? In theaters for you, or is it an at-home rental?
You know, seriously, I mean, it's a character drama. It doesn't really benefit from the large screen as much as, you know,
some
fun art house movie.
Aside from the fact that you're, like, dedicating yourself, I'm sitting down in this seat for 2 hours. Yeah. I'm not going to allow myself to be distracted.
Yeah.
That's the only thing you're really...
Yeah.
So you're saying, wait, just rent it.
I mean, yeah.
Drew says just rent it. It's good, but just rent it.
I mean, unless you want to go to see it in theaters, but in which case, by all means, do so.
It would be worth a movie theater ticket. I think that's what I'm asking, Drew. Is it worth the $11, $12, $13?
Sure.
Rousing endorsement from Drewster Cockburn. All right, there we go. Box office top five continues with...
Number five. Right. Daddy's Home 2 made $13.25 million, total of 72.
Daddy's Home Again, starring that rascal that everyone loves to love, Mel Gibson. Mm. We just ruffle his hair and throw him in a family
comedy.
That
was a gamble, I think. It was a gamble.
You know what? It made decent money, and it didn't cost that much. What's the total?
Total of 72, budget of 69.
They could have made more money, I think, without Mel Gibson. They might have made a couple more bucks. Maybe some people would have bothered to check it out. Maybe it would have helped, too, if it was a good movie. Mm. And by most accounts...
It is not.
It is not.
Coming to number four this week.
Number four.
Thor.
Thor number four. Ragnarok. Thor Ragnarok.
Weekend gross $16.79 million. Total of $277 domestic.
$277 creeping towards $300. Just might maybe get there.
Foreign $512. Hey. Worldwide $790 million.
So it's going to get to that $800 million mark, which, as we've said before, it's only a handful of comic book movies or movies in general get to $800 million plus. That's a lot of money worldwide. So congratulations due to Taika Waititi. Mm-hmm. I guess now officially the world's most successful
Kiwi?
Half Maori. No, Kiwi would still go to Peter Jackson.
Mm. Oh, yeah, he is Kiwi.
But he's
white Kiwi.
He's a white Kiwi.
He's indigenous Kiwi.
Half Maori, yes. So he's the world's most successful Maori filmmaker.
Yes.
By a wide margin. Like, he may be the
only.
I mean, New Zealand, is there another one there?
I don't know.
You know what? Some kid now.
Oh, definitely now.
Some kid in New Zealand now is going to be like, oh, Waititi did it. Maybe I can do it. And looks up to Ricky Baker. Maybe Ricky Baker would be the second.
Coming number three this week. Apparently, Ricky Baker's in Deadpool 2.
Yeah, he's in Deadpool 2. There's a picture of Deadpool with him on his back.
Yep.
Curtis, you ever see...
They're doing the Wilder People thing, too.
Yeah, the Wilder People. You gotta see The Hunt for the Wilder People, Curtis. It's a fantastic movie.
Shel Silverstein's
Hunt for the Wilder People, correct. It's about a tree that
gets lost in the forest.
It gets lost in the forest and gives itself up so that a boy can live.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's good stuff.
Plausible. Mm-hmm.
Good stuff. Coming in number three this week.
Number three.
Wonder made $22.3 million. Total of 69.
Wonder, Jacob Tremblay plays a kid who's, it's like 2017 Mask. Remember Mask?
Mask? Oh, with the face.
With the face. Mask with the face.
Yeah.
All right, guys, well, Curtis just had to go to the bathroom because he started drinking wine like right away. Curtis, we love Curtis. He's great. He's drinking that wine. He went to the bathroom, so that's why he's not speaking because he went to the bathroom. So last week, Wonder, number two movie of the weekend last weekend. Mm-hmm. And we're like, what the hell is Wonder? No. I did see a bit of marketing. It's a terrible title. It's a very, for what it is, but I guess Mask wasn't a great title either. It should be called Weird Face Kid Gets Bullied by Others.
Oh, yeah.
Because they know what it's about and what it is. And then be like, oh, that's the word, a weird face kid gets bullied by others. But then someone learns to love him anyway because he's nice inside.
Yeah.
Because he's Jacob Tremblay inside.
He's beautiful on the inside.
He's beautiful. He's Jacob Tremblay. Mm-hmm. He just has a weird prosthetic on his face where it makes him look like a burn victim.
Ooh.
I don't know what's going on.
Number two.
So that's what Wonder is. For people who care.
Number two this week.
And who are not behind. We're behind. Oof, it's been a rough year.
Just Ice League. $40.73 million. Total of $171.5.
All them superheroes.
Domestic.
Running around CG-wise.
Only 300 foreign. Total of 481.
Drew. They are talking about, oh, what are you going to do? How are they... Do they even continue in this direction? Do they have to?
Why?
Aquaman is not in production. The only movie that's in any sort of production right now, I believe, they have Wonder Woman in production. Wonder Woman 2.
Which is fine. And, I would like to see Wonder Woman 2.
And they're working on Shazam.
Shazam could be fine. Mm. They don't have to, just as long as they don't throw in any of these assholes that are in these current DC movies.
Aquaman's been shooting. That's an actual production.
Okay.
So they got to do that.
Okay.
But so what do you think, Drew? Should they continue or...
No.
No? Just done? Just call it quits?
Why?
Stop making Batman Superman movies for a while?
Yeah. I mean, put it on ice. Wait for...
Just Ice. Oh.
Wait for it to come around again and, you know... Give it another shot. We could do for some time without Batman.
The McRib philosophy.
I mean, when's the last time...
McRib, the Batman, put him away.
I mean, when's the last time Batman was quote-unquote, like, out of style?
The Schumacher Batmans. Schumacher Batman's 90, so that's 97, 96, 97, leading up to Batman Begins, which was a risk at the time. No one knew Batman Begins was actually going to be any good. So, early 2000s, it's been a while. Maybe it's time again. Put him away. Or redo it completely.
Well,
whole new Batman, whole new story.
Yeah, I mean, but
so quickly.
I don't want Batman, I don't want the freaking Batman origin story.
No more Batman origin stories, agreed. Agreed. We've seen it enough.
Yeah.
We've seen it. So just Ice League not doing well financially and not a very good movie.
No.
What's number one?
Coco! Made $49.02 million, total of 71.
Pixar's Coco, their Day of the Dead inspired movie. Also, the closest thing they've done yet to a musical, apparently. And lots of guitar work and stuff. Very well reviewed, very well received.
It's Pixar.
Because it's Pixar. Well, I mean, it's not always, you know, Cars 3 wasn't that well liked. You know,
I didn't see any of the Cars franchise.
Exactly, so there you go. Coco.
Certified fresh, 96%.
96%. Out of how many reviews?
157.
God damn, it's a lot of reviews. What does it say? Coco, another wonderful effort from
Rich
Pixar.
Thoughtful narrative, family-friendly.
Can I say this?
Affecting.
No, Curtis, you may not, but you may exclaim it.
All right, well, I'm just... Let me exclaim this! I want to see Coco. I've read the reviews. I read the synopsis, the whole thing. Mm-hmm. It seems like it's going to be a fun thing.
To watch.
And it was, as you mentioned, it was there was integrity in the making of it. Mm. I was told that they had lots of consultants on this to make sure that it was
appreciative of the culture
And stuff.
Sure.
How do I get into that movie theater without looking creepy by myself? Do I have to rent the kid? What's going on?
It's hard as a single white man, I think, to walk into any movie theater. Especially if you have a backpack, without people looking at you side-eyeing.
Is this guy gonna pepper spray
and shoot up this movie theater? And that's what I think of when I see.
Or maybe he's just gonna shoot.
When
up
I see
in
a single white
theater.
Guy walking in a movie theater, that's what I think. That's the first thing I think. So Curtis, if I was seeing Coco and I saw you walk in, not knowing you, and I saw you walk
no,
in,
no wait,
and
would you go in by yourself?
Yeah, I do it all the time. If
the
I saw
Pixar
you,
Coco.
Yeah, I don't give a shit. Okay. If I saw you walk into a theater, though, I was like, what's that white guy doing by himself? Is he? Yeah. And I wouldn't think you're here for the kids. I would think you're here for the kids.
I was about to say,
this guy's packing some sort of weapon. He's going to turn around.
Me and Chris go see movies all the time. I mean, there have been quite a few number of times where like we've been like the oldest people.
Mm-hmm. I remember going to see, I rounded up a bunch of people. This was pretty much right around college days, like 21 years old, 22 years old. Around like three or four dudes, and we went to see Spy Kids 3D.
I was there.
Drew was there.
I was there.
Walking into a full theater.
Full of kids.
Four seats right in the middle of the theater. Like four
kids. Oh, no.
Kids everywhere.
Four out of their mind college age dudes. Like, you know what I'm saying.
Right.
You know what I mean.
Smells like crap and urine in any direction.
We got really high. And then we went and saw Spy Kids 3D.
Really high.
Sitting in a theater full of families and kids. Yeah. And we sat right in the middle, and they were like, yay.
It was awesome.
and Curtis, this is we're talking red blue 3D. That's the 3D we're talking about.
Yeah,
the head splitting 3D.
Yeah.
Sylvester Stallone was in that movie.
Yeah, it's good.
Memories. What were we talking about? Coco. Pixar. Coco. I want to see it. Curtis, just go see it. Don't worry about what other people think.
Just go see it.
Fuck what the other people think.
Seriously.
Let them think what they think. They're jerks anyway. They're judgmental
idiots.
Enjoy yourself. Bring some, get some popcorn. They sell wine now at the
yeah, they do.
Overpriced.
Oh, really?
Or you just sneak some in. That's way cheaper.
Yeah.
All right, there you go. So Coco was your box office top five. New movies coming out on DVD. Logan Lucky.
Still haven't seen that.
It's good.
Worth checking out.
It's Daniel fine. Craig.
Yep.
Yeah.
Channing Tatum.
Tatum.
Yep. Adam Driver.
Yep.
Who's the girl? Just some random girl. Oh, and Katie Holmes.
Yeah. You're right, Katie Holmes.
Tulip Fever also comes out. Tulip Fever was produced by the Wine... No, actually, not produced by the Weinstein Company, excuse me, but purchased by the Weinstein Company. And they bought it to make it an awards play of some sort. But what had happened was they decided to They had decided to put it off, and they kept putting it off, and they put off releasing this movie. Tulip Fever ended up being 2 years.
Oh, really?
That they kept pushing back the release date, and finally it came out in theaters this summer. Very underwhelming release, and now it's getting an underwhelming at home release. And it's about the Tulip Fever. It's about the tulip bulbs.
Yeah.
And the Danish market and the tulip bulb bubble.
Yeah, and how it popped and people died and all sorts of nasty things.
And the craziness of the tulip bulb bubble. And
what the hell are you talking about right
now? So tulips. You know tulips?
I know what a tulip is. How do people die when a tulip bulb exploded?
Well, no. There was, like the tulip bulbs were crazy prices at a certain point in time. Like, it was like... You know, basically like the gold rush, but for tulips. Everybody wanted them. Prices were through the roof. People were mortgaging their houses.
This happened in America.
No, in Amsterdam.
All right, Amsterdam. And then a tulip bulb blew up and people died.
Well, no. The market crumbled.
Oh, okay.
And when any sort of commodities market crumbles, you know, that there is, you know... After effects.
Okay,
the bubble.
All right.
The bubble.
That burst. Makes a lot more sense.
And then people died.
Yes. And then people died.
People jumping out of windows because their tulip futures are exploded. Gone. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. That's precisely what this movie is about.
Yeah.
But also some sex.
Apparently lots of it.
You better throw some in that movie.
So there you go, Tulip Fever. What's come out in theaters?
Speaking of sex, Woody Allen's Wonder Wheel comes out.
Wonder Wheel. Okay, first
Woody
off.
Woody Allen?
Yes. Mm. Okay, so first off, this is the first weekend of December that we're talking about. The first weekend of December is officially the slowest box office movie weekend of the year for some reason. I think it's because it's the beginning of the shopping season, or it's a week right after the beginning of the shopping season for Christmas.
So they just throw shit out there.
They avoid this weekend like the plague, so they may drop an interesting movie or a bunch of shit. So yes, Woody Allen's Wonder Wheel comes out in some theaters this weekend with no marketing whatsoever.
Can I tell you something?
You can.
I will watch it and I'll tell you why.
Why?
Because I feel invested. And what I mean by this, not in this movie.
In Woody Allen?
In the Woody Allen franchise.
He makes a movie again.
I've seen so many of his movies.
Yeah.
I think I've seen every one of his movies.
That's a lot of movies.
I've seen Sleeper. I've seen...
Manhattan.
Manhattan. I mean, but Annie way Hall, back to the beginning in the 60s, so...
Hannah and Her Sisters, right?
Hannah and Her Sisters, yeah.
Paris. Jade Scorpion.
Midnight in Paris. Yeah. Cristina Barcelona, whatever.
Miranda.
Yeah. So... I feel now I'm at this point in my life where I feel I have to keep seeing these. I don't want one to go by that I haven't seen.
And then you miss it.
Because I feel like you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like pitching a perfect game. Mm-hmm. You don't want to
miss the
chance to pitch that final game.
Well, then keep an eye on the Winter Park Regal. Because if any theater in town
it'll be there.
Plays a Woody Allen movie, it'll be over here at the Winter Park Regal. One screen for a week. Watch. But it'll be there.
Okay.
And maybe. Last but certainly not least, The Disaster Artist.
The Disaster Artist is James Franco's movie about the making of the movie The Room. About that terrible film that has midnight screenings in L.A., and they throw footballs in the parking lot.
Don't know about this.
It's like a 21st century Rocky Horror Picture Show.
It is the best, worst movie.
So this guy, Tommy Wiseau...
That is the best, worst review.
Yeah.
Well, I like that.
But that's what it is, yeah. It's
the
one
best,
of these,
best review.
It's one of these that's so bad, it's good to watch movies.
Yeah,
it's
it
very
is.
Poorly
no, it,
made.
It is so awful.
It's
it
as
makes
if
little to no sense.
It's as if someone told an alien what movies are, and then gave him $6 million to make one.
Yeah, okay.
And then he made it. And yeah. It's like...
that's a great way to
all the it. Bad decisions you can make, they made them.
Yes.
It's fantastic. They're, and if you check out the trailer, it looks like a fun telling.
It looks hilarious.
So one guy that made the movie, who worked on it, he wrote a book called The Disaster Artist about the making of this now legendary movie, and then they turned that into a movie.
And Franco's in it.
And James Franco wrote it, directed it, produced it. He's in it. And he's playing the very eccentric
Tommy Wiseau,
who is the genius behind the original movie, The Room. So it is a creative snake that has eaten its own tail. It's an Ouroboros of self-congratulatory, this is movies, we love cinema.
Uh-huh.
That's what's going on.
It's
here.
Weird.
So there you go. That's what's coming out in theaters?
Yep.
All right, Drew, you know what's up.
Doctor, doctor, give You must be Doc Holliday.
Well, that's the rumor.
Dr. Strangelove, do we have anything like that in the works?
They call me Dr. Manhattan.
And Bridget Fonda.
Do doctors know more about sex?
Doc Hollywood.
That's right, Curtis. The doctor is in with our prescription for a life. Dr. Drew, take it away.
Chris, sometimes you have to do the things you really don't want to do. Drewster out. I love how it takes you longer to write it down than it takes me to say it.
Actually, the intro took longer.
Yeah, no, that is on purpose.
Yes, I know. I love that comedy there. But then you replied, and then Chris wrote something in Sanskrit. I can't even read that.
It took even longer.
You're looking at the piece of paper upside down, Curtis. All right, let's take a break.
It's hilarious. It makes me laugh every week.
Let's take a break. What, Drew, we just invented didgeridoo wop.
Chris, my head hurts. My brain hurts.
Shoo doop doo doo wow 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 wow. I think it's fantastic. Okay. Well, Drew's gonna smoke a cigarette and
we're gonna edit all that out.
And get his blood pressure down.
Hope to God it kills me.
I'm gonna pop a Peroni.
I'm gonna eat some canned meat and cola.
Canned meat?
What?
How about with Francis McDermott?
What kind of canned meat?
scrambled
I mean,
eggs.
Are we talking like canned chicken here?
Are we talking about scrambled eggs and tossed salad?
Pig parts.
Okay.
Canned pork. Give me some of them pig parts. All right, guys, let's eat some pig parts. So let's go. I am playing. I heard this on, speaking of radio, 89.9?
The Jazz Station.
The Jazz Station, yeah. WCF. Just the next song I noticed. This song sounds familiar. It's this duo called Hiromi and Edmar Castaneda. And they did a live version, this is live in Montreal, of the Cantina song.
The
original Star Wars. And it's a cool live version. It's 5 minutes long and it's a lot of fun. It's jazzy. It's cool. People, check this out. You're going to enjoy it. And then we'll be back with the second half of episode 255 of Cinema Crespi.
My 10th time.
We're feeling good? Yes.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
10.5.
Yes.
Okay. For this.
False start.
Yes. All right, here we go.
Yes.
previously on the What's the Fuss podcast.
Included herein is a package intended for use during a force feed ecchi segment. However, I didn't know. Each member of the show must participate. Remember this for the sake of good content. It's bean boozled. Okay. Dare to compare jelly beans. We've talked about this.
The yellow one
can be buttered popcorn or a rotten egg.
Ew, they're both gross.
The peach-colored one can either be peach or barf. There's either banana smoothie sundae or dead fish. All right, I'm just going to go for it, guys. I got grass.
I got coconut.
What'd you get, Bill?
Mine was the Tutti Frutti.
Yours was Tutti Frutti, and it was good? Maybe it's a trick, and they're all the good ones, and
but
the
your
fun...
Brain, your brain makes you think that you might be tasting the shitty stuff.
Oh, man. You psyched yourself into thinking something when...
Oh, I got barf.
Oh, no. Did you? Oh. Who would do this? This is disgusting.
My God.
Chris Crespo, you're an asshole.
Oh, my God.
We were friends.
Can I get a beer?
Oh my God. Holy shit.
The old PBR will wash that down.
They did a really good job with recreating gross stuff.
Oh man.
Listen to What's the Fuss podcast on PFTmedia.com.
Welcome to the Crespo Show.
Yeah. Welcome to the second half of episode 255 of Cinema Crespediso.
Seriously, what's wrong with you guys?
Well, you guys,
me?
Were,
no,
you guys are
no.
both on your phones,
no.
So I was just killing a couple seconds
guy.
There.
It's
actually,
this guy. This kid's got mental issues. He's probably slightly autistic.
His therapist need a therapist.
Oh no! I mean, if he actually went to a therapist, yeah, probably.
I'm thinking about it.
I try not to delve too deep into the psyche of Christopher Crespo because it's probably a fucking dark place.
Kind of works. It's kind of working for Mr. Robot. It might work for. Is it
working for Mr. Robot?
It's working for a second. Curtis, you watch Mr. Robot?
No.
Curtis, you gotta watch Mr. Robot on
it's
my next
good.
Show.
It's good.
It's such a good show. It's such a great show. USA Network. It's a surprising show on USA Network.
It's a
Network.
Thinking man's show.
It is a very smart show.
I always take your advice, so...
Thank you. I think you're a smart person, so I think you would appreciate it. But it's also a dark show, so... If people aren't into it, I would also understand why for different reasons. But it's very, it does things. If it wasn't for Twin Peaks, The Return, I would say it's the most daring show on television.
Okay.
But then Twin Peaks, The Return came out, and now Mr. Robot's just like anything else. It's ridiculous how wild Twin Peaks is. Mr. Robot, though, is a fantastic show, and what they're building up to... It starts as one thing, but now they're doing season 3 now on USA Network, and what they're building up to is fantastic. It's totally worth watching. Are you watching any series, any TV series, anything right now? Are you current? Or?
No, I'm not. Actually, I don't really watch TV. And like when I'm home from doing my... During the day, I don't watch any TV.
Right.
And I'm home during the day, so I'm running questions, I'm doing business.
You're working.
At night, I'm doing my shows. When I get home... I will watch a Netflix movie. So,
okay.
Last night I watched something about fraternities at UCF.
Oh, yeah. That's right. And it was like an off-campus frat, right?
The Gazzoni brothers.
The Gazzoni family.
It was an interesting documentary, mm-hmm, I will say that. I went to college. I did not join a fraternity.
Me neither.
Yeah, no. Screw that.
I've always been a lone wolf or my own guy, so... Mm. And, no disrespect to the fraternities, but it just wasn't something I see the value in. And this movie I thought was very balanced because it showed the value of being in a fraternity, and it also showed the bad parts.
That we know about.
The unfortunate things
of,
That
kind of lifestyle.
Yeah, the rapes and now and then someone dies.
The rape culture, the bro culture.
The bro culture. Sometimes people die from
the hazing.
The hazing stuff. So, there's pros and cons. I thought the movie, Chris Taylor directed and filmed it. I thought it was well done.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
Well, then if you're into Netflix documentaries, then Drew and I can recommend. I'm sure Drew was with me on this one. Jim and Andy. Yeah.
I saw it just the other night.
Yeah?
Very good.
Wow,
what a wealth of home movie material.
So I know,
crazy.
Right?
So what? Crazy. Yeah, I got Kaufman's girlfriend to direct all this backstage
in,
stuff.
In all reality, they never used. Like Jim Carrey sitting there in front of the camera, just like talking to you.
Yep.
I think that's the first time I've ever seen the real, quote unquote, real Jim Carrey.
No character.
Yeah, he was off. Yeah. Like that part of him, you know, the one that he called Hyde or whatever.
And he's been He's been running that for the last couple of years. Yeah. Like. He's
maybe, art maybe, now and stuff. Maybe that's just his new character.
He hasn't been in movies in a while. I felt, though, Drew,
this was the real deal.
Yeah, it felt for the first time like I was actually seeing, like, Jim Carrey.
Well, there
were
times when I'm looking at him, he just looked... maybe it could be movie manipulation, too, in terms of editing or whatever, but he looked very sad.
Yeah.
Very, very sad.
He had forced smiles.
But you know what? I think...
Sad eyes.
I think because some of that movie... Or some of that subject matter resonated with Jim Carrey
so much
as a individual because growing up he had a very interesting, sad childhood.
Yeah,
they were homeless. They were whole family with janitors living in a van or a tent on the front lawn of the sister's house for a while.
Famously, a tough upbringing.
You know what I'm saying? Yep. So I think he felt not that Andy Kaufman had this same exact upbringing, but going into a character. And staying in that character. And then that character has a character, like Drew was alluding to.
Yeah.
Is this a real Jim Carrey?
Yeah.
I get that because sometimes you have these alter egos to find sanctuary in.
Well,
and it's safer to operate out of a mask, you know, so to speak, no pun intended.
The mask.
Than to be your real self.
Celebrities will do this, yes. The putting up a public persona that is different from who you are at home. Because you're selling yourself. He was selling in the 90s Jim Carrey. Whereas now he's not selling himself anymore. He's rich. He's fine. Actually, he's not fine. He's going through a lot of
nonsense.
Personal troubles with the civil lawsuit from his ex-girlfriend's family. Blaming him
for
her suicide because she used pills to kill herself. And it was pills that he acquired under a fake name through some L.A. like Hollywood doctors. It's a crazy sad story.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, though, he was a pallbearer at her funeral. And the family members that are suing, like the I think it's her ex-husband, actually, and mother. I don't think they were at the funeral. And the funeral was in, like, Scotland. Yeah. So he had to cross an ocean to get there. It wasn't easy to get there.
Yeah. I mean, some of it might be opportunistic on their end, too. Who knows?
It could be, or maybe Jim was getting into some dirty stuff, bad stuff, and then it did result in bad influence on this other person. Who knows? It's really...
He was on drugs.
No more heroes. It's crazy. It's a crazy world.
Yeah, I mean, he might have been trying to help her, or listening to her and trying to appease her. You have to decide. Do you believe he was... malicious in trying to see her to her death? Or was he trying to help her and she accidentally died?
I don't think there's any maliciousness in it, which is why it's in civil court and not criminal court. Why it's like, well, you can't bring this guy up on any charges because...
There are no charges.
Yeah, there's no... He did not intend for this to happen. But in a civil court, you can argue, well, it led to an unlawful death because of his actions led to this, etc., etc. Well, now they're in court to try to prove it. So we'll find out. We'll see what a jury says.
Yeah.
We'll find out. OJ found not guilty.
Criminally, but found civilly liable.
Civilly liable. So, civilly liable for direct murder of individuals. But he, still hasn't even... The Goldman's still trying to get that money.
Yeah. He doesn't have any money to give him.
It's back, though. The hunt is back on. Because he's out of prison.
Mm-hmm. So now he can make money again. So now the Goldman's can take it all.
The Goldman's need to work that horse, man. Make that monster. Make some money to give them money. You know what I mean? I'm on the Goldman's side.
Garnish those wages. Right.
Garnish those wages.
This might not be, I don't know, PC to say, but
nobody cares.
If it was my family.
PC.
Nobody's listening.
Afro Circus. It's from Madagascar. It's a kids movie.
It's Chris Rock saying Afro Circus. That's zebra fucking weird.
Wearing a rainbow it's
slightly
afro.
Racist.
I need you both to calm the freak down, and I'll tell you why. This is nothing to do with race. What I'm saying is, if my family suffered from the hands of a murderer, alleged murderer.
Death Wish style. Murderer.
All right, Death Wish. That guy would not want to come out of prison.
You pulling a Charlie Bronson.
Yeah. He would not want to leave prison. He'd be like, oh, no, that's okay. I'm staying right here with my three hots and a cot.
You're saying the time that OJ was in prison, you would have been at shoot straight with a 357 Magnum learning how to, like,
I'm saying once
and
he
and
got
then once
out
he gets
of,
out of prison, then it's
once
on
he
Drew.
Or any individual got out of prison after killing my son.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Death Wish. Yeah.
Death Wish 6.
That is happening.
The Death Wish remake.
That is going
instead,
on.
Instead of Bruce Willis, it's Curtis Earth, like, going against OJ
Simpson. I would write letters to him, letting him know, in prison, don't get out.
Stay in there.
Yeah.
Beat up some guards and add some time onto your sentence.
Yeah, just add time on.
I like that. I like that. That's the vengeful.
I'm just being honest with you.
That's the vengeful Curtis Earth.
There'd be no, like, oh, all right, so legally, fine, good.
I appreciate that, Curtis. I appreciate it very much. Well, there we go. We got some quick Netflix documentary reviews out of the way.
You can take that to the bank.
Take it to the bank, to the blood bank, Senator. Steven Seagal's a piece of shit. Drew, where can people find you online? Plugs time. Let's do some plugs.
At Antihero 419. All over the internet.
That's right. All over the internet. It's Antihero 419999999. Curtis, where can people find you on the internet, specifically if they wanted to contact you?
If they wanted to contact me directly, it'd be... CurtisEarth@gmail.com.
That's a good one.
That's my email.
All right.
Curtis Earth Trivia is our website. Earth Trivia, I should say.
Okay.
And then Curtis Earth Trivia on Facebook.
Curtis Earth Trivia on Facebook. EarthTrivia.com.
This is the hub.
Yes, yes. Website going under behind the scenes overhaul. One day you're gonna flip the switch and you're gonna excite and dazzle
everyone.
We've
got a new one coming up. Wait till you see it.
I'm looking forward to it. It's gonna be a lot of fun. Any new gigs that you're doing that you're looking to promote that you want people to know about? Local yokels?
You know, it's the holiday season, so I've booked a lot of personal or private
You're doing private events
organizations
now for a month?
Okay,
very cool.
For December.
Oh, that's a good gig. I can't wait, Drew. It's going to take me a few years, but I can't wait to get in on that private event hustle. That's
you should put
stuff,
that on
man.
Your answer sheets, Chris.
And I'm available for private
at the bottom,
gigs.
Available for private parties. You know, you have... Wait, what's that noise?
Here we go.
You know
speaking
that
of
noise.
Trivia. Just a Cochran versus the world. Curtis Earth, his Earth is like a world. It works out. Curtis Earth versus Drew Cochran versus the Earth.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. That's a good idea, Curtis. Drew. Drew's my answer sheet guy.
Chris.
Drew, did I ever tell you that Curtis gave me a very nice compliment on the answer sheets the one time I covered at the Wink Shack? Remember that?
Oh, awesome.
Did I ever tell you that, Drew?
Awesome.
And
thanks.
I was like, Drew's my guy, man. He's the one who made the sheets.
Yeah.
He's my guy, Drew.
Very nice design, Drew.
No, thank you.
Yeah,
I went to school for it
for graphic
while.
Design. Yeah, exactly.
for a little while. I never got a degree because, you know, lazy.
Degrees are for losers.
Degrees are for non-quitters. That's fine. But
he does a quitter.
He already does great work. And we got to add that, Drew. Private events. Yeah, I just did.
Okay.
All right. Drew's a guy we're versus the world. Drew, this year you are 23. And 13. Out of 46 opponents, you have slayed 23 of them. Now, Curtis, this is your third time on this year, right? But one of those times was against Simon. And that counted on your record, Drew. Mm-hmm. Simon was playing for you. Yeah. So, and you beat him in a very close trivia game.
Simon is very tough to beat.
And it was wonderful having you two go up against each other. You took it very seriously. You indulged me. It was a good time.
I think it was on pay-per-view event.
It was a pay-per-view event at the time, but now it is available for everyone to listen to. So you can go back. Episode 231 is Simon versus Curtis Earth. Even though you know who the winner is, because we just told you, it was still a lot of fun. People can listen to that. 227 was the last time we went up against Drew, and you beat him, making your record against Drew head-to-head. It's like the only one that I have a record of. Just to torture Drew. 2-6, Drew's record against Curtis. So Drew has won twice, Curtis, you've won 6 times.
As it should be.
exactly.
Fair enough.
Correct. I mean, you could call him a trivia emperor.
I'm gonna edit that to cut the gap on that because it sounds a little better.
Okay.
So this week's game is called Scene Double. I'm gonna name 2 actors or actresses. No, actors. I'm going to name two actors. Sorry, ladies. I'm going to name two actors. You tell me the character that these actors have played. That's the same character.
Okay.
Okay? Drew, you won last week, so you got to go first. We have two groups of five, A or B. What do you want, A or B?
A.
A. All right, here we go. Group A. I'm going to name two actors. What is the common character, movie character, between the two? Number one, Alec Guinness and Ewan McGregor.
I don't even know if I know who Alec Guinness is.
But Curtis put up his arms like, oh my God. Alec Guinness.
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Obi-Wan Kenobi is correct. There you go. Number two, George Lazenby, Timothy Dalton.
James Bond.
That is correct. Number three, Zach Galifianakis.
What?
Cesar Romero.
The Joker.
That is correct. Number four, Anthony Hopkins, Brian Cox.
Hannibal Lecter.
That is correct. Number five, Frank Sinatra.
Fuck.
George Clooney.
Oh, Danny Ocean.
That is correct. 5 out of 5. Drewster Cogburn. Wow.
First, let me say I should have had A.
Winner took the ball out first. Oh, and he
damn.
And he had a 50-50 choice. He could have said B.
My nuts are going back up into my body right now.
All right, here we go. Curtis, you know how the game goes. Number one, Gene Wilder, Johnny Depp.
I know this one. Willy Wonka.
That's correct. Number two.
A dramatic pause. Hey, let's go. let me relish this. I'm probably not going to win this, so let me relish this.
Hey, Drew set the bar high on this particular game.
Yeah, you think? Yeah.
Number two, Val Kilmer, Will Arnett. Drew knows it. He's doing the double jack off on both sides of his face. Yeah, that's what you were doing. Don't deny that's not the hand action.
That's exactly what I was doing.
You added a tongue for effect the second time, but Val Kilmer, Will Arnett. Feel free to, you know, deduct or reason this one out if you want to, but don't look at my face for answers. Because I am a poker. How's that song go?
Poker face. Poker face.
That references exactly at the right time to be not old enough to be funny, but not new enough to be relevant.
Yeah, correct.
That's the Crespo so promise.
Can I steal?
In 2018, I do want to work on some sort of like point stealing option there. For sure. But then that would be for the loser only, right?
Because that's I don't know how you want to do it.
Oh, I guess that could be for both. But then if you get it wrong, you lose a point. So it's like,
well, you, no, yeah, if you try to steal and get it wrong, there has to be some sort of deduction. So
you lose one of your points. Yeah. So you gotta be like, you gotta
know.
Yeah.
You gotta know.
That'll be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2018 for sure. We gotta do something. This shit's getting stale. All right, Curtis, here we go. Val Jesus. Kilmer, Will Arnett.
This is my downfall right now. Oh, Drew, lick your chops.
Yeah!
Right now. I'm going to I know it's not Batman. It could... I'm going to say... wait. Does animated count?
Yeah, it's a movie, isn't it? Movies. All movies. Even documentaries count. TV films.
I was going to say
Drew's masturbating.
Oh God!
Look at him. He's like this. You're like this. This is what I see. You're like this.
The tension.
So much tension. Val Kilmer.
I'll say Batman.
Oh, Curtis.
Jim Morrison.
That is correct.
Yeah. Good job.
Yeah.
Good job.
Whoa! Holy Jesus!
He's back.
All right. Number three, Marlon Brando, Robert De Niro. Drew making a face does not know this one. Marlon Brando. Yeah,
Don Corleone.
Don Corleone is correct. Don Vito Corleone. Number four, Anthony Perkins, Vince Vaughn.
Anthony Perkins, Vince Vaughn.
Vince Vaughn.
Vaughn? Vince Vaughn, what have you been in? That's the question.
Vince Vaughn is the comic actor. He's a comic actor.
Tall dude. He's a tall comic dude.
Oh, jeez.
Go to pftmedia.com to listen to awesome content such as... I was just going to break into a commercial right in the middle of the Lady Raptastic Show, episode 6 coming out this weekend. Guys, you're going to enjoy that one for sure. Lady Raptastic. Both these guys, even Drew, he's totally confused. Anthony Perkins / Vince Vaughn.
What they both played the same character.
Both played the same character. That character would be...
Even in his earliest days, he played,
The silence is deafening. People listening at home, they're freaking out.
Sorry.
Like,
all right, I'm
just saying the people at home are like, I know it. But you people at home listening that you know it, you're also not sitting here in the studio in the hot seat with these great steaks. Yeah. So relax as these guys try to figure this one out.
Curse. I can't imagine Vince Vaughn in this movie.
But he was in it.
Hannibal Lecter.
No, that isn't correct.
Oh, what was it?
Norman Bates. They were both Psycho.
I forgot Vince Vaughn was in the Psycho remake.
Yes, he was in the Psycho remake in the 90s, the Gus Van Sant Psycho remake.
Vince Vaughn played Norman Bates.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he did.
And Hache played the mother. Blonde. The actress. No, yeah. The blonde.
Hold it. You know what? Yeah. Hold it. Hold it.
Curtis is remembering.
Yeah.
You said what Perkins?
Anthony Perkins. And you were thinking Anthony Hopkins?
Anthony Hopkins is who I was thinking of.
I said Anthony Perkins.
Oh, yeah.
Anthony Hopkins. True. He got Anthony Hopkins.
I got Anthony Hopkins.
And Hannibal Lecter. I said Anthony Perkins.
Yeah. If you would have said Perkins,
he did say
Perkins.
If I would have heard it right, I would have, because that's the only role I would have known.
Yeah, that's the only role you want.
Thought Hopkins.
Would you have gotten this one number 5? Yeah. Dwayne Johnson
and
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
God, B was tough.
Yeah, B must be tough because even Drew was like, what? Nope, Drew got it.
Wait, hold on.
Dwayne Johnson. All
right, I'm going to ask Drew to give you the answer, but hold on.
Okay, Dwayne Johnson.
Dwayne Johnson and
Arnold Schwarzenegger. We all know Arnold Schwarzenegger. Okay, movies
same
like
character,
Jaws
but
and
two
E.T.
Two completely
Schindler's
different.
I don't know it. I don't
movie.
Know it. What was it?
Hercules.
Hercules.
You won fair and square, my man. Fair and square, Drew.
Hercules. That is correct. Schwarzenegger was in Hercules. Goes bananas.
Hold on. Let me put the skirt on. As promised.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, very good.
Why are we rolling in a pinball machine?
Completely different Hercules, though.
Yeah. So the two different versions of Hercules. Wayne Johnson and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Good job.
Well done. There you go. Good job. Write that down. 24.
Yes. I do have to say, though, as with all of these, it's a luck of the draw.
It really is. Because
I would have got that A pile the whole way.
Yeah, and I would not have gotten the Anthony Perkins
one. And you
were short
on
like
Anthony
him.
Perkins
yeah.
Okay. But you still would have heard
that.
Perkins, right?
I still would have heard Perkins.
You
would have
fried the
like,
Perkins.
Hey. This is what God intended.
Yes.
That's why it
well,
fell
assuming,
out this way.
Assuming he exists.
No one's perfect. This is now a perfect time to tell Curtis about the time when I subbed at Piper's.
Okay.
And it was the first round of Piper's. And it was the word jumble.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, one of the letters was Y.
Yeah.
And I wrote down, you know what I do on my answer sheet? I write down for the letters, I write down the word that I'm going to say ahead of time.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Because otherwise I freeze up there for some reason.
So you put Y.
I put down Y, yellow, but for some reason I said L as in yellow. And people like wrote down L. And then I also reread the letters. Did I say L again? Maybe I said Y and no one was listening.
Right.
And people were like, everyone was like baffled by this fucking word jumble. And then at the end, someone was like, can you reread the letters? And I reread the letters. And the last one, I said L. I said the right letter.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, oh, threw their arms up. And I was like, oh, what did I say?
All right, so let me tell you.
What did I say?
Let me tell you a little bit of a Quizmaster trick.
Okay.
The average word jumble takes people maybe 2 minutes to figure out if that much.
Okay.
All right. If everyone's heads are still sequestered down looking at the paper, after like 3 or 4 minutes, the song is ending.
Yeah.
I've done this before. I'll say, let's go through those letters once again.
Okay.
And then I'll say, did anybody get it? And if nobody raises their hand, I will then do the jumble myself to make sure
the letters
are
right.
I'll go, oh, I meant blah, 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 blah. And then they'll go, you bastard. I'll go, hey, nobody's perfect, and you move on.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I had to make a joke with the second word jumbo, made a joke out of it. We all had a big laugh and recovered. It was exactly a nice crowd there at Piper's. Shout out to Kevin.
Kevin Frady.
Kevin Frady's got a tough but fair crowd there at Piper's. Also, that night, I remember specifically one of the questions was, "What European or what UK flag?" Is blue and white or something like that.
Okay.
And then I read the question, and then I stand there and I'm looking around, and there's just a team right up front. Some guy keeps, like, he's like pointing. He's like pointing like what? And I'm looking around, like, I don't know. Do you need the music to go higher?
Yeah, right.
I don't know what's going on. And because over there, you're on a stage, so you're kind of like,
yeah, you're about three feet separated
from the people, yeah. And then as I'm going around picking up the sheets for the next round, someone points out to me, Piper's is a Scottish bar. You asked a question about the Scottish flag. There's one there and there's one there. And I was like, oh. And then I got the answer sheets. They all said Scotland. Everyone got it. So then I had to make a joke about the only Scottish
flag. Sometimes I'll have questions about billiards, not realizing half you guys are in places where there are pool tables.
There's a pool table right there.
Yeah.
Someone could be looking at the bar. Anyway.
Yeah.
Drew, these are the fun shenanigans us trivia hosts have to deal with. Mm. Me.
Sounds like fun.
Don't you want to get in on it? Quick, you don't want to take over my
corkscrew. It's the topless people that follow me home that just, it's annoying because I always have to make sure I have enough views for everybody.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's not anything you'd be interested
in. So do you have a gig, a specific gig you're pushing these days, then a new one?
I have to say.
Because I know you're doing private gigs for December, but is there one? I need people to come to this one.
I need people to come to my Cork and Fork show I share with you.
Hey, that's what we're going to do.
Well, I'll tell you why. Because you have been nice enough, gracious enough, to invite me onto the show because, you know, I can't sit home on a trivia night.
I heard you had Tuesday nights off.
I have it off because I normally am at Rollins College.
But
they're going to be off for the winter break.
Between semesters.
I'll have nothing to do on Tuesdays. Yep. I'm not going to sit home and watch any of these fakakta shows you guys both mentioned. So I was like, hey, Chris.
Yeah.
Do brother a favor. Can I co-host this with you? You're gracious enough to let me come in and co-host it with you. So we're going to be at the Cork and Fork every Tuesday night at 7 o'clock.
Not starting this Tuesday, right? But
It's the 5th is the last commitment I have.
So it'll be the 12th.
The 12th.
All right, so a couple weeks from now.
Of December, yeah.
So people have plenty of time.
Early and check out the gig. Check out the food. It's farm to table food.
It's delicious food.
It's so good, and it's worth the money.
Tuesday is meatloaf special night.
Oh God, I had the meatloaf special night.
What did you have when you were there?
All right, so I had the meatloaf special with the which is infused with mozzarella cheese in the meatloaf.
Yeah, it was cheese and portobello, right?
Wasn't it? Yes, indeed. And then there was garlic mashed potatoes. Mm-hmm. I also couldn't leave enough alone. And green beans. I couldn't leave enough alone. About a half hour later, I ordered the pretzel sticks with the beer cheese, which
everyone,
was amazing.
Everyone I talk to likes those pretzel bites.
Yes. Well, they're pretzel sticks. They're not even
bites. Are they sticks? Are they?
Yeah, they're like big cigars.
And they make the cheese in-house, they say.
Yeah. Everything's made in-house. Even the ketchup and mustard is made in-house.
You can definitely tell with the ketchup. You can tell when you're having homemade ketchup.
It's called the Cork and Fork, my friends. It's in Belle Isle. It's right on Conway Road
and Hoffner.
And Hoffner. It's right in a strip mall there.
It's right in
a strip
mall around the corner.
Right. It's the last.
You'll see the planes flying overhead right as they approach the airport. Airport's right there. You'll see it. We're across the street from their building, Ace Hardware. And there's a Wendy's.
Yeah.
There's a Thai place next door that people really like. People come to the Cork and Fork Tuesdays. The show's at 7.
And as an extra added thing, during the shows, I will be
the
giving away...
The shows that Curtis co-hosts with me.
That I co-host with you. We'll be giving away a pair, and I think it's $30 a ticket, a pair of Great Escape Room Orlando tickets.
Yes.
So if you... we'll raffle them off. So if you're there, if your ticket is called, if your raffle ticket's called, you win a pair of these tickets to the Great Escape Room Orlando.
It's gonna be a lot of fun. We're gonna have shenanigans planned, I'm sure. Curtis and I are gonna bring you unique tag team trivia unlike people have seen.
Unlike the world has seen.
It's going to be fantastic. And you are a trivia emperor, so you can do what you want.
Phantasmagorical.
You can do what you want. Or how's it going with Guinness World Records verifying that longest world running pub thing? Drew, could you grab me a beer from the fridge, please? I'll get there. Right. Chris, how's it going with the Guinness World Record thing?
Well, I'll tell you what. I had a company back up in Nashville research this for me to find out who is the longest continuously running trivia game in America. Guess who? Yours truly.
It's you.
Yeah. Now, what does that mean? In 1993, I left a rock band that was going nowhere, but I wanted to do something in entertainment. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know what? I'm going to do this. This sounds like fun. I was working as a DJ at the time at a Holiday Inn. I started doing trivia night. It took off. Then I was doing it five nights a week within 2 months. Mm-hmm. So that's when I started the check from the 2 months later. So that was October. So December 5th or 8th is when it started.
Okay. And I love that you know the dates. That's fantastic.
Yeah, well, I have all of my... You know how we used to keep everything in the day timers, the daily planners?
Yeah.
I've kept all my daily planners since college, really.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because I've always been in bands, and I've always had to write down the gigs and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm not throwing this away. I just keep it, you know. So anyway, so that's what's up. It's the longest continuously running pub quiz in America. You've got to come and see it. EarthTrivia.com.
EarthTrivia.com all over town and also in Pennsylvania, Washington, D.C.
And Arlington, Virginia.
And Arlington, Virginia. So we have listeners all over. People check out the website for real to see where it is near you. And then also, Curtis, you were on a corporate time with Tom and Dan recently.
Yeah. We had a great time. Tom and Dan are just two really fun people.
Yeah, they are.
I really enjoyed their podcast. And it was great because after I was on that show, I didn't realize how many of my followers are followers of them.
And heard you.
And they came up and they're like, oh, that was really cool, dude.
Yeah.
Heard you on their podcast. I was like, oh, really cool. Oh, great.
That's very fun. Yeah. They got a lot of people here in town that they know. So it's a perfect podcast to be on. People can check it out. That's a corporate time. November 8th is when they came out. But it's Tuesday, 11/7/17. The title of the show is Falcon Feet and Trivia. You have to listen to the first half of the show and understand why they call it Falcon Feet. Curtis is in the second half of the show.
Yeah, it was hilarious.
Yeah, it was a good appearance. Yeah, great. And then you also talked a little bit about, you reminded me because you talked about how you started back in the early 90s as a DJ, and then you started throwing in trivia questions.
Right,
and
then yeah.
Some more trivia questions.
This was a whole organic process,
yeah, exactly.
How this happened.
It was very
cool. Feel the best things in life happen by accident.
Yeah.
They really happen by accident.
Sure, they just...
You make your plans, you think, I'm going to be a rock star, or I'm going to be or I'm going to be that, and then this thing happens, you're like, this is great, I didn't know I was waiting for this, you know?
It's funny how that works out sometimes.
Yeah.
Absolutely, 100%. So there you go, earthtrivia.com, people, check it out. Do that. Do it! And then also do other things like pftmedia.com and cinemacrescent. You know all that, you know the spiel. Guys, you know the spiel. Alright, well, you know, we got Billy D.
Whoa, this is heavy. There's that word.
What? We don't got no Billy D. Oh, no. Billy D. Curtis, as I'm sure you know, as a 10-time guest, our New York City senior correspondent horror film aficionado. Apparently, I think this may be the week, Drew. De Blasio's
finally got him.
Fingermen may have finally black-bagged him. He was just like on a street corner, getting ready to walk down into a subway. And then some dudes, a van pulls up, asking for a light. Black bag from behind, throw him in the van, wrap him in a carpet, bomb in the Hudson.
Mm.
Most likely. That's what I assume.
That's what we think.
When we don't hear from him, that's what we assume is happening. So, rest in peace, Billy D. The rest of this episode is in your memory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very, hey, you know what a lawyer's creed is?
A lawyer's creed?
Yeah.
Maybe?
A man is proven innocent. A man is innocent until proven broke.
Oh, man. Oh, take that, lawyers. Greedy sons of bitches.
You would know.
They help pay my bills.
I was about to say.
My experience with lawyers has been quite positive.
That's why I threw that in there.
They've been paying your bills for a very long time.
What's the deal with lawyers? All right. So we have no Billy D's Death at the Movies this week, but I'm sure you'll be able to check out Billy D's Postmortem. It's this video series that we do for PFTV. You can go to our website, pftmedia.com. Right there at the top, it says PFTV. Click on that. You can check out, I think it's episode 15 now, of Billy D's Postmortem. They're roughly about 8 minutes long each, and it's him going through his top 100 movies, 5 movies at a time. It's good stuff. Check it out. All right, Drew.
Can I just say one last thing to our audience?
Absolutely.
Please use your turn signals. That's all.
Please, seriously, use your turn signals.
That's the only time I have road rage.
Yeah.
People don't use their turn signals and make me slow up in traffic for no reason. It's like they're turning into the Steak and Shake.
It's like, you think we got a mind reading powers? What's going on here? We can't read your mind.
You're not psychic?
Turn signal, that shit. Can I say one more thing?
Yes.
Oblivion Tap Room Wednesdays.
Yeah, everyone. That's a great new gig.
That's a great new gig, but people got to come to it. Curtis Stone came to the... A lot of people came to the first one. It was a great turnout. A lot of people I know, people came from like
Lake County. All right, don't kill yourself about the second one because it was during this holiday week.
It was Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, so don't feel bad about it.
But there was like no one there. Oh, yeah. Man. Simon showed up, saved it, because people showed up to play with Simon. He saved it. So I need people to come out this Wednesday.
Right on.
And show starts at 7:30.
The Oblivion Tap Room. It's right on Route 50.
5101 East Colonial Drive in Orlando, Florida. Yeah. I said that like a car salesman. That was pretty good.
Yeah, and they have that kick the keg.
Kill the keg, yes.
Kill
they
the
do.
Keg thing. So
where it's a
beer is ridiculously cheap.
Yeah, half price. Kill the keg. It's whatever the bartender's pretty much trying to get rid of that night. But all their beers are good. And I was there once when a guy was there trying to sell them on some beers. They had like all the samples that I was like, here, try this one, try that one.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was like, oh, look at this guy doing his door to door. Yeah, the spiel and all that stuff. I was like, good for him. He's working hard. So I mean, and then the dude Seth, he was the bartender there. I mean, he can take a good beer. So. They're doing that, and also...
It's Oblivion every Wednesday night.
Every Wednesday. They got a lot going on Wednesday. Not only is it Kill the Keg Wednesday, it's also Whiskey Wednesdays, Drew. Whiskey
Wednesday. Half-price Jack Daniels, right?
$4 Jack Daniel drinks. Any Jack Daniel rye drinks $4. So come... Yeah,
that's budget-friendly.
Budget-friendly. Come get your drunk on, but not too drunk. I don't want to have to talk you down. You know, I'm trying to run a show here.
Get drunk responsibly.
Get drunk responsibly. Yeah. Uber your way home. It's trivia it up. $25 for first place, $15 for second. So it's a good prize. It's good fun. And pays me well. So come on. please come to this gig and make it work. Okay, so Billy D, movies, done. Let's get into real quick then some movie news.
Check out Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel showing off their hot beach bods during their romantic Caribbean getaway.
Opens up about navigating the holidays with ex-wife Reese Witherspoon.
Leia is spilling the beans about a secret Star Wars affair. Apparently Han wasn't so solo after all.
He has been melting down. He's been berating fans, walking off stage. So what's going on with the beans?
Curtis.
Yeah.
It is time for the movie news segment in which we talk about celebrity divorces, hot beach bods, but most importantly, we need a Justin Bieber update. What's going on with the Biebs?
Currently, Justin Bieber is going to be in the sequel to Lincoln.
What?
Yes, indeed.
Lincoln 2?
He's studying up for Lincoln 2 right now.
Who's he playing?
He's going to be playing Lincoln, actually. In heaven.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny that Lincoln, the first Lincoln, ended with Lincoln getting in the carriage, going to the play at the Ford. I heard it's a good play going on his way. So he's going to pick up from where they left off there.
It's the only Daniel Day-Lewis movie that has put me to sleep.
The only
no
one?
No way, really?
Yeah.
I really love that movie.
I don't know what it was about it, but like 35 minutes into it, I closed my eyes and never opened them
again.
I agree
with you. What's his name? The actor, not David Spade.
Tommy Lee Jones. No, James Spader.
James Spader. When James Spader got into the mix and it was all about him getting extra votes or getting the other congressman or what have you to vote, that was boring. Oh. That was slowing me down, even though it was meant to pick you up. But I am such a fan of this guy.
Yeah, I mean, I love all of his work. I just couldn't.
Daniel Day-Lewis.
I couldn't do it.
You know, I don't know.
I'm like, I get it. You're Abraham Lincoln. Congratulations, sir. Give him an Oscar. Let's move on.
Give him another award for Daniel Day-Lewis-ery. Yep. Well, it's good to know. Justin Bieber's going to be in Lincoln, too. Thank you very much. Movie news. I only have one story, Drew. Only one story we're going to focus on. And it plays right into our This Week in Rape Culture.
Sweet. I mean, sorry.
No, it's supposed to be funny. I told him to use a different song.
Yeah, Drew didn't like the other one. It was either that one or this one. This week in rape culture, Drew.
I think that kind of trivial. I think it marginalizes.
Trivializing what's actually going on.
There we go. This week in rape culture.
This week in rape culture. Rape culture. This week in rape culture. This week in rape culture. Rape culture. Rape culture.
This is
rape
Brandon.
Culture. Rape culture. Rape culture.
All right.
Yeah, he's a weirdo.
Seriously, I told you. What's wrong with you guys?
I told you.
What are you talking about?
He's a weirdo.
Just drinking some Orange Blossom Brewing Pilsner.
Mm-hmm. Quite good.
Because the Peronis are in the next
room. Move along, shall we?
Tom Mensch for president.
Guys, Coco made a shit ton of money this weekend. Benefiting from some of that is John Rapey Lasseter. Rapey McRaperson himself, John Lasseter. John Lasseter himself running Disney Animation Studios and Pixar Studios.
Used to.
Well, he's running them for a couple of years. He's been running Pixar for a long time, running Disney Animation for a long time.
Well, I mean, he was responsible for Frozen and this other, you know, this...
He's responsible for Toy Story and Cars. Okay, Curtis went back to the...
This again.
It's the old...
secret.
Leaky bladder, man. What's going on
here? Broke the seal, bro.
He broke the seal.
He's drunk. He broke the seal.
Don't break the seal, bro.
That's why you don't put the seal. I want to punch you in your stupid face.
Okay, so in John Lasseter had to step aside from day-to-day operations for the next 6 months.
Due to missteps.
Due to what he called missteps. And in his official release, he said that there were some hugs that he thought maybe some people felt, or like maybe the hugs went on too long. He's a very huggy guy. He said hugs.
Is he talking mouth hugs?
He's talking about mouth hugs that he wished he could get it. So apparently, Drew, while he's like, there were missteps, there were hugs that were misinterpreted, blah, blah, blah. What was going on, really, is that there was a whispered network amongst staffers in Pixar, especially in the early days when it was a smaller company, about how John Lasseter is like a horny 13-year-old boy who can't keep his hands to himself, and younger women, especially pretty ones, need to wash themselves in that work environment, because they will not find any sort of HR or system there
to help them.
And no one's going to fix the problem. Instead, John Lasseter is running the whole thing. It's going to make very detrimental comments, very disparaging comments to young women there. So John Lasseter, well, he says they were just hugs.
Mm.
And he's trying to play it off as, oh, it's just a little bit of innocence
misinterpreted.
Nope. What's really going on is that he was a creepy dude who was constantly trying to get laid amongst the young women at Pixar. And it sucks.
Good for him.
It's a sad world that we live in, that this was happening in any level, shape, or form. And it's a good thing now that it's all being taken care of.
I'll tell you what's sad.
What is sad? Please tell us.
The bidet in your green room is non-functioning. No. But I'm a professional. No. I can rise above it. I'm just saying.
Okay, I'm sorry. I apologize. I'd love to get that fixed. Just add to the list.
The perils of home ownership. So that's your movie. That's the entire movie news segment. The guy who helped produce wonderful movies such as Toy Stories 1 through 3 and Up. And Wall-E, while he was making all these wonderful, great pieces of work of art, was also like trying to play grab ass in the studio with the young interns.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's messed up. What is up, man?
It's a hard world. It's a hard, tough world that we're living in. And those are just the ramifications. Drew!
Chris!
You got your reading glasses on?
I don't need reading glasses.
Oh, fair enough.
The world famous.
They don't make glasses sticking rid of blinking neon dots.
Well, here we go. What do you see? Let us know. Vox Populi time. Drew Sikogran, take it away.
We got a tweet from our homeboy Ron.
What's up, Ron?
Says, saw Train to Busan finally.
Okay.
A lot of fun. The Scarf Daddy was really sexy.
Scarf Daddy?
But the asshole COO guy? I don't think people in real life act that way.
I remember that guy.
How do you feel about the ending? How do you feel about that ending?
I don't remember it.
Really?
Do you remember the ending? Spoiler alert!
The dude who was trying to get away at the end, you know, the businessman who kept trying to get away, he sacrificed fucking everybody. pretty much.
Right.
And at the end, at the very end, he gets bitten and he turns into a zombie. It's hilarious.
I barely remember the ending.
Yeah.
That's how what I feel about the ending run. I barely remember it.
And then I'm pretty sure, like, it's back to zombies, like, all over again.
Train to Busan, Curtis. It's on Netflix. I think it's on Netflix. Korean zombie movie. It's the zombie outbreak happens, but we're following a father-daughter on a train, on a commuter train in the morning, on a very busy commuter train. That's why it's called Train to Busan. And the zombie outbreak happens while they're on the train and they're going to the next city. And then one person, an infected person, gets on the train.
It's on Netflix right now.
It's on Netflix. So there's also a zombie outbreak on the train as it's happening in the world around them.
All right. So I hate zombie movies.
Okay.
But I might check this out.
It's a fun take on it.
Yeah.
It's a cool, interesting take on it, right? It's a lot of fun because you're on a train and it's moving. It's it's a high-speed train.
Scarf Daddy?
Scarf Daddy.
Oh, yeah.
You got to have that.
Scarf Daddy's a good-looking guy. Yeah, he's a handsome dude. Yeah. All right, Ron.
You gotta have that kind of sequestered type of place for a zombie thing. Because no one thinks of getting in the station wagon and just going to the next big town, going to Vegas or something.
Yeah, right? Just run away from it. No, you're stuck. You're stuck in that town
somehow.
And you gotta get from car to car. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Tweet's not over, Chris.
Tweet's not over. What? 140 characters obliterated. 280. Here we go.
Also, what do you want for Christmas? I want Xenoblade Chronicle 2.
Xenoblade Chronicle 2?
It's a video game.
Oh, okay. What do I want for Christmas? That's you, Front Teeth. What do you want?
A condo.
Curtis, what do you want for Christmas?
I want to beat the conquistador of trivia in this room who beat me earlier today, Drew.
I don't think you're going
to
get that
for
Christmas.
I'll have to wait to January, I think.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, you know what?
Maybe I'll give you a win for my birthday.
Guys, just in case, you know what? Hold on 1 second. Okay. Now, for the listener, there was no pause whatsoever, but I paused the show so I could save it to make sure I save that win. So, Drew Sikovar, there will be no more lost data in terms of...
Yeah, make sure you put that down on something physical, too.
It's down. It is recorded.
We'll put I don't want you to possibly lose that one statistic.
One day, next year, in 2018, you're going to get a thumb drive, an unmarked thumb drive in the mail. You'll put it into your computer, and an MP3 will play, and it'll be your loss.
Yeah.
It'll be.
Happy Christmas, Drew.
Back to the tweet. Oh, yeah, what do you want for Christmas? So what do you add? Okay, so you want to go up against Drew again and then beat him. Okay, fair enough.
Now, honestly, what I'd like for Christmas is, to beat Drew.
All right, there you go. Excelente.
Ron also got at us on Facebook.
Oh, man, Ron utilizing multiple sources of social media.
Can we talk about the fact that there is 3 military shows that I know of currently on prime time? Valor on the CW, The Brave on NBC, and SEAL Team on CBS.
Hey, support the ratings.
Support Duran.
Do y'all think it's a response to Trump's America? Or is there another reason for all the patriotic America has a lot to go on?
I think it's obvious that network television, CBS, NBC, etc., they cater to an older audience that's who still has cable, who's still watching.
Yeah.
Good quote, like at-home appointment TV. Younger generations are used to watching streaming. Yeah. YouTube, on demand. Things, which doesn't lend itself to these types of shows.
I mean, I still feel it's still weird, like, not having cable sometimes. Like, it's just weird.
But do you have cable?
I know I do.
So why would it feel weird?
I've not had cable before.
But not in this new day and age of Chromecast and Kodi boxes and so many streaming options, which are about to go away thanks to net neutrality being abolished by the FCC. And people are like, that has nothing to do with me. But then if you allow Trump to become president, he's the one who picked the current chair of the FCC, who people said right away from day one, this is what he's going to do. This is what he's going to do.
And guess what, Chris?
What?
He's going to do it.
If you feel weird and out of sorts, pedophone.
Pedophilia?
What? I was just about to say what?
Pet a fawn.
Oh,
pet a small deer.
I gotta get close enough to a fawn. How's that gonna happen?
That's never gonna happen.
There's petting zoos all over the place.
Easier for me to find a puppy somewhere and pet a puppy. All right, I'll go to my parents' house and
pet an old dog.
Play with their dog until she just looks back. Leave me alone. I'm like, no, Nena, love me, love me, Nena.
Unconditionally.
If you look at most pictures of me and my parents' dog, this little white dog, most pictures, it's me being all happy.
Yeah,
and the dog's just staring.
The dog looking off like, God, leave me Yeah. Every single image of her is like, God, please stop. Stop.
Just end it. That's, now.
No, not end it. She's like, just leave me.
Yeah.
I was happy 5 minutes ago, and now I'm miserable because you're on me.
Good job, Chris.
I know my place. Mm-hmm. I know my place in that household. It's my parents. Nena. Then me and my brother. That's
how it is. Yeah,
pretty much.
That's how it is. We're just fine. Huh? We're just fine. Because when it comes to lifespan, we got a one up on that.
So. Yeah, just wait it out.
Yeah, just wait it out. Oh, she's so sweet. She's so sweet. There you go, Ron. Oh, no. Facebook? What do you say? Oh, yeah. Military. Fuck the military. No, not fuck the military. Fuck the war. Bill Hicks has that joke where he's like, he has the uncomfortable position of being for the war, but against the troops. And I'm like, man, that's hard to do. That is hard to do. So I think Sima Crespedito is officially for the war, but against the troops.
Okay, sure.
We got to get noticed somehow. We got to get some traction. Now we are.
I'm leaving now.
You're leaving?
Yeah.
Kurt, I'm just saying, Kurt, we're spinning our wheels in the mud.
Good idea.
We're trying. It's either that or we're for breast cancer. I don't know.
Sacrifice the titties.
We all know someone who's been affected. All of us know, literally. So are we pro breast cancer or are we pro warning against the troops? Drew, pick one.
Now it's on pick one.
Yeah, Drew, it's on you.
Oh, God.
Cancer.
As producer of the show.
So for cancer or against the troops?
For breast cancer. People love tits.
What is this thing, tits, you say? Chris,
about?
If I have two options.
What are these tits?
If I have two options, tits or troops, I pick tits all the day.
You're picking tits over troops?
Yeah, tits over troops.
Let it be known officially, Drew Sakagawa is tits over troops.
I'll tell you what. Yeah. I think all of our troops, every single troop.
They would agree with me.
Every single troop.
They would agree with
me. In our Navy, our Marines, our Army, even the Coast Guard should be women. And I'll tell you why.
Hmm.
Because if we get into a conflict,
uh-huh.
if we win, we can say, oh, our women beat you. And if we lose, we're like, oh, you beat a bunch of girls. See what I'm saying? I've been thinking about this for a while.
It's the old beat by a girl gambit. The old beat by a girl gambit.
Misogyny.
Yeah, I don't think that really works in 2017. It doesn't work anymore, Curtis.
Okay.
That would have worked.
I'd take all that back. Can we edit that out?
No, I'll edit that out. What I'll do is I have an effect on here. Well, it reverses what you say. It makes you say the opposite of what you actually said.
Oh.
So I'll do that.
We got an email from
Scott. Oh, there's more. Okay.
We got an email from Scott.
What's up, Scott?
I just want to start off by saying,
Scott!
I hope everyone in the Crespo Diso multiverse had a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday.
Oh.
If you are hearing Drewster reading this, I wish peace and love to you all.
Oh.
Smoke weed every day.
That too. he's got a Roman J. Israel Esquire review and a Coco review.
All right, Roman Jisrael. Here we go.
The previews did a poor job of telling what the movie is actually about, or maybe they did an outstanding job at selling me on a movie I shouldn't have seen.
Oh.
I went on thinking quirky lawyer savant, client killed in prison, gotta find justice, procedural law drama with a twist.
Okay.
That's definitely not what Roman Jisrael Esquire is.
Jisrael!
Inside Roman Jisrael Esquire might have been a more appropriate title. Literally, instead of a cat, there's a bulldog statue. This film opens with a title character composing a legal document, quote-unquote, citing himself as both the plaintiff and the defendant in this quote-unquote case, where his very humanity hangs the balance. Gotta admit, it was a cool intro. But in that document, he also says that everything we're about to see throughout the film takes place over the course of just 3 weeks. This wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing for a better written movie, but here, the times and the pacing, it's a fundamental flaw. Just watching it, the story feels like a lot longer than 3 weeks, to the point where I was even questioning myself, did I hear it right? 3 weeks? Maybe he said 3 months. But then, toward the end, Roman makes a point to say something like, I don't even know you guys until 3 Mondays ago. Damn. Roman goes on a bit of an odyssey over these 3 weeks, but none of it rings true. He's presented as a man who's very slow, almost averse to the idea of change. He listens to 70s music via his 80s headphones and his first-gen iPod, carries a flip phone.
Is this Chris? Are you talking about Chris?
Living in the same apartment for 35 years.
Yeah, this guy's just spying on me.
And he's maybe on the spectrum, so again, very averse to change. And yet, in just 3 short weeks, he changes his personality and does a lot of things that simply aren't him. It doesn't work. The whole story feels very rushed.
Mm.
Denzel sells the hell out of it, as usual, but the script ultimately lets him down.
There's probably a good movie, maybe a TV show, to be made around this character. The potential is there. This, unfortunately, just wasn't it.
Oh!
2 out of 4 stars.
Scott didn't like Jezreel J. Roman. All right, what we got for Coco?
Thank fake God Almighty that I chose to see Coco second after watching Roman first.
Okay.
Because I would have gone the other way and left the theater a lot more depressed.
All right.
Where was this fucking schedule of flexibility when I needed it for Blade Runner?
Oh, you never saw Blade Runner.
Coco is an absolute gem. Gotta admit, I was worried going in. I was worried that maybe Pixar was betting too much on a very, very Mexican story in troubling times. I was worried it wouldn't be relatable to gringos like me. Stupid gringo. I should have known better. Pixar did what Pixar almost always does. Create characters in a story that damn near anyone with a fake soul will find interesting, delightful, and ultimately moving.
Aww.
Oh, and never mind the truly gorgeous spectacle of the film.
Mm-hmm.
Not since Merida's hair and Brave have I been so wowed by Pixar's stunning visual supremacy.
Oh,
Coco
nice.
Is pretty as fuck. Now,
pretty as fuck while vulgar.
Now from pretty to petty. See what I did there?
Oh, shit.
My only nit to pick is this truly amazing film is its soundtrack. Don't get me wrong. It's not bad in any way. Mm-hmm. I just wanted more.
Oh, that's not a bad thing.
For a story that has its roots so deeply set into music, I wanted a few more bangers from the soundtrack. The keynote song, Remember Me, is perfect for what it is and for what it needs for the film, but it's not my jam. Neither is Poco Loco, which was
Poco
great,
Loco.
But brief. The Mexican-themed score was terrific throughout, but this film about a boy's love of music, I think, needed a few full-length numbers.
Más músicas.
Make the damn movie musical Coco deserves to be. It pains me to take even half a star away from a movie that literally had me crying as I exited the theater.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm being harsh, but I must. 3.5 stars. I want to do 2 or 3 more paragraphs about how and why I loved Coco, yet I didn't love Kubo, even though they're almost the same damn movie, but thought I'd spare everyone. Let us all give thanks.
Give thanks to the...
Give thanks to Scott.
Slight brevity of this week's email. Escúchame más músicas en Coco, por favor.
Oh, that sounds authentic.
Ah, gracias, señor. Soy
Roberto de Gen. We got an email from...
Yo hablo mucho español. Pero cuando... It's from Carmelo.
I was waiting for you to stop talking.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So, that's what I was doing.
Oh, that's my bad. Okay, well, here we go. Carmelo's email.
It is entitled...
We're going to wrap up the show.
Treatment for a 2017 reboot of Mr. Belvedere.
Oh.
With Chris Crespo as young Belvedere.
All right, here we go. The idea for me is young Belvedere. Let's hear it.
Chris Belvedere, young Belvedere.
Okay.
Here now known as YB. Played by Chris Crespo, is a wisecracking, handsome, and second-generation Puerto Rican living the American dream in Central Florida. He attends Full Sail College and studies filmmaking and dreams of becoming the Puerto Rican David Cronenberg.
Whoa.
He hosts a local up-and-coming movie podcast show called Belving Into the Movies with his best friend, Dre, a heavyset African-American chef working at a local Japanese steakhouse.
All right. Okay, oh, so that's you.
I'm fat and black instead of skinny and white. Cool.
That works.
In the pilot, YB, it's you, Chris.
Can we just make him a fat black chick? Can we make you Andrea? You're a fat black chick.
Okay, sure.
All right, producer credit. I change you into a chick.
That's
here we
fine.
Go. All right, moving
totally
on.
Totally okay with that.
All right.
In the pilot, YB is running late for his scriptwriting techniques class and is speeding down South Cimarron Boulevard when he crashes into another car. YB's penchant for bad luck will be a continuing plot element known as Christmas.
Oh, the Christmas, because it's a Christmas
season. As Christmas?
It's Christmas.
Okay.
Christmas is every year. It's this time of year, usually. Right. Like, you know, when you get into your car and you go to start it, and then like, ooh, and then it starts. It pauses for a second. What was that? That, Curtis, is a Christmas spirit. Okay, Drew, go ahead.
YB's frequently used catchphrase will be, looks like Christmas is coming early this year. Drum fill, please. YB panics when he realizes he didn't pay his car insurance or his overdue parking tickets so he could purchase a new Shure SM7B microphone. YB employs his quick wits to formulate a plan as the other irate car owner, later revealed to be Orlando Sentner sports writer Mike Bianchi?
Yeah, Bianchi.
Okay, sure. Approaches. YB will become the man's live-in butler in order to pay the man off for vehicle damages and to keep the man from reporting the accident to the police. The scheme will allow YB to avoid going to jail for driving with a suspended license with brown skin. Once at his new home, YB will meet the entire Bianchi family. Mike Bianchi, a hot-tempered local sports writer with the Orlando Sentinel with dreams of becoming a sports center and making it big on the national scene. He and YB will bond over their shared interests in trivia and podcasting.
Wow.
I'm halfway there.
You're halfway there. Wrote a young Belvedere, Cromella.
I've got a plane to catch.
Curtis has a plane to catch.
Look, you guys.
We got.
There's something about the 1979 Iranian hostage crisis.
No,
okay?
What? No, okay.
I'm just throwing that out there.
Put this in the Cinema Crespo Diesel Facebook group so everyone can read it at their leisure. How about that? Curtis, we got to wrap this thing up.
All right, look, I love you guys.
It's time to end the show.
You're the Ren and Stimpy of podcasting. I love you both. And I hope to see you again in 2018 when I will defeat you, Drew Cogburn.
If you say so.
Why is it? It just did this now. Okay, here we go. We're good. We're good. Are we? No, we're not. No,
gotta do the whole show.
No, because I remember when I said it. All right, here we go. I'm sorry about that, guys. It freaked out for a second. Curtis.
Yeah.
We're wrapping this thing up. You know how we do the lightning round?
We give you the questions.
Yes.
You give us the answers.
All right, we have time for this?
We do, because the lightning round is super fast. You ready? Number one. Okay. Wait, Drew, set the clock.
Go.
Number one. Why is any of this happening?
Because it's meant to be.
Number two. What kind of monster invented white chocolate?
What kind of monster invented white chocolate?
Yeah.
Bride of Frankenstein.
Number three. When when should a band call it quits?
After their third album.
Number four, who is really responsible for the Joshua Tree, U2 or Brian Eno?
Brian Eno.
Number five, how do you prefer to make your popcorn?
Kettle corn, lots of sugar and salt.
Number six, why do we continue?
Because to stop is not an option.
Number seven, when was the best time to be alive?
1981.
Oh man, I missed it by so close. Number eight, what is the worst thing you've ever eaten?
That would have to be liver and onions.
Number nine, how would you prefer to circumnavigate the globe?
On a raft called Kon-Tiki.
And number 10, who do you kick out of the hot tub? Ronald McDonald, Colonel Sanders, or Carl Hardy Jr.?
Colonel Sanders, he's not fresh.
Get him out of there. Juicer Cogburn, show him the two bags. What do we got?
I got a green bag. I got a pink bag with polka dots on it.
Which one of these two bags do you want to take home, Curtis?
The pink bag with the polka
dots. All right, bring that pink bag with the polka dots. Here we go. Drew, show him what he's got.
Sir, you may get to go home with Wrestle Rampage Stretchy Fighters.
Oh,
they're sticky and they're stretchy and they're definitely having gay sex in the front of this.
And they're wrapped up in each other.
Give that to Simon Time.
They love. We've got Toy Toons harmonica. It's easy to use and fun to play.
You're a musician.
I can use it on my
made
recording.
Out of plastic.
You are a musician.
Oh, we've got a Swervy Jones koozie.
Shout out to Swervy Jones.
A whole bunch of stickers.
A whole bunch of stickers.
A Cinema Crafties, a bootleg copy of The Deadly Trekkers.
Yes.
What the fuck is that?
It's a movie.
And Death Watch.
Nice. Those are both movies. Curtis, you can take that bag home and it's all yours. And there's a whole bunch of stickers in there. Or we put that bag away and you take what Drew has in a box right over here. Look at this box. It's an awesome box and it's filled with something. And it could be yours. Do you want what's in the box? Or do you want what's in the bag? You know what's in the bag.
There's a harmonica in the bag.
There's a harmonica.
I'm going with the bag.
Okay, we're going with the bag. You take that bag.
Bold choice, sir.
And that is it. That is it, sir. Yes, that's right, Drew. We will make sure Curtis is going to be interested in what's in that box. Curtis, thank you very much. Drew, thank you. I appreciate it, sir.
I really wish
the Lindbergh baby's in that box.
Curtis, thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
It might be Quentin Paltrow's head.
Thank you for everyone downloading, listening. Rate us and review us on iTunes. Remember to break up the big banks, read more books, be excellent to each other. Free Mumia Abu Jamal. Peace out.